Thankful to be able to bring God's word this morning. Brad and Wendy out of town. Catherine did get their daughter Catherine to get married last night and had a great time and a great party together. So we rejoice with them. Let me invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 4. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 180. There's also the scripture reading printed there in the bulletin. This is a passage that is just a great New Year's passage because it's about these memorial stones. The nation of Israel has just crossed over the Jordan River on the very edge of the entering into the promised land. And God calls them to build a tower of pile of memorial stones. And so we'll enter into this and then think about how this relates to us and remembering the past year of God's faithfulness to us. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did, just as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over to the place where they lodged and laid them down there." Then skip over to verse 19. "The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took up out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" May God bless the reading and hearing and teaching of his holy word. Well then, yes, New Year is upon us, a new year, a new calendar, new goals. To me, it's like taking a breath after all that happens at the end of the year, and then it's delving into what is new, passing away the old. Really, the old, and aren't you glad? Some of you are, that the old is gone, that 2016 is in the past. I know many of you are. But God wants us to remember the past. He wants us to remember it, to again prove to us, and really, you'll see as we go through this, hopefully, he wants to electrify your soul in this, that you remember his faithfulness to you, that you remember his mercies, that you remember all that he has done, not just for the sake of remembering, but for the sake of remembering him, glorying in him, worshiping him again. And so we're going to look here at the faithfulness of God, look back at it, yes. but so that you can move forward with confidence in his promises to us. Okay, so just 2 points. First, remember this, looking back. Okay, if you're into social media or Facebook, they do this thing where they show you pictures, even if you don't want to see them, of things gone in the past. Okay, or they'll put your year in review, or you see these magazines in the convenience stores of the year in review, and every edition has this. And you might think, okay, yeah, I remember that, or I'm glad we're past that. And so God has given people memories. Okay, and you think about that. Well, why? Why do we even have a memory? So that we will remember, yes. So that we will remember God's faithfulness. And look at why he gave the Israelites these memorial stones. Okay? These memorial stones so that they would not forget what God had done. God had dried up a river. He had dried up the Red Sea. Okay? The point is God is doing what they could not. Okay? God is making a way for them that they in no way could pass through on their own. Okay? So that all of God's people will not forget his faithfulness. So think about, in your own life, what are memorial stones for your past year? What are things that God has done that are remarkable or that he wants you to focus on, to remember? And we'll have a time after the sermon, after the offering, for sharing in prayer. I know that's unique, but this is sort of to help you be able to apply what we're talking about here. At the end of the service, we'll have sharing and prayer. And I'm standing here, and so I'll go ahead and share. Thinking of what God has done, thinking of God's faithfulness to me and to my family, and some of you know this story of how God brought us back to Altadena. I was an assistant pastor here from 99 to 2003, lots of good friendships. Three of my 4 kids born here while we were young, and lots of hard struggles had happened, and so many people loved us so well, and so we kept up with Altadena. And when we would go on vacation, we would come back to Birmingham, and my mother and one of my sisters lives here, but we would come back to Birmingham mostly to come to Altadena. And I can't believe that I'm here. And as I've said before, it'll take a long time to sink in. But I had determined, God had answered many prayers for us. We were in a small, rural, isolated town, 90 miles from a metropolitan area, South Alabama. And God had sent us there. We knew that. We knew that we were missionaries there. And I had, through wrestling with the Lord, give us this, Lord, give us this, give us contentment. Give us contentment. We can't make it. And he did. He delivered. And so we sensed, okay, Lord, you have planted us here. We are here. We are here until we're going to retire. And that helped me incredibly and helped my family to be able to stay there and minister there. And we would tell the kids all the time, why can't we go to Birmingham? Well, I'm sorry. Well, God has kept us here. This is where we are. And so when the position opened, I said, oh, well, that'd be interesting for somebody. I had, over time, God had led me and my own ministry focus to be more involved with mercy ministry, with working with the materially poor in our own community. And God had grown our church through that and changed our church and especially led our deacons in pursuing mercy ministry more. And so a few years before, I had called Corb Heimberger, who was in a position before me, and I had asked him, do you know of any other churches that do this? No, I don't, but why don't you come to Birmingham, and I'll show you what we do. And so he taught me a lot and showed me, and I went to downtown Birmingham and was involved in some things there and learned about, but it wasn't very applicable to small town South Alabama. And I just said, okay, Lord, we'll just wait. And so when the position came open, I said, oh, that would be a great position for somebody, but I am not applying for that position. And I told Amy, my wife, and she said, well, good, because I don't want to go through that. It is it's a grueling process, any kind of interview process in the church. Not because of this church, it just is. It's just a grueling process, and it should be. And so I said, yes, they know we're here. They know who we are. They know my interest. If they're interested, they'll come talk to me. And so I slept on that for a couple of days, and I promise this has only happened to me twice in my life that I can remember. God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I heard, not an audible voice, but in my head, I heard, you prideful sot. And that is not a word that I use. Okay? I had to look it up. It means drunken with pride. Drunken with pride. And I tried to hem and haw, and no, he got me. You don't want to walk by faith. You want to walk by sight. You don't want to take any risks. You want them to take the risks. You want them to call you first so that you don't have to, you know, bother with the whole whether or not they're interested in you or not. Okay? And he was exactly right, of course. He was. And yes, it was still a long process. Yes, it was still a long, grueling, many dozens of applicants process and all of that. But it's a memorial stone. I want to build something right here in my office. It's a memorial stone of God calling me. And also to help me and the church know that this is all of God. That this is not of me. This is not me making a way. It's not me calling people and manipulating Steve Whitner and say, hey, why don't you get me in there? You know, it's not me doing that at all. It's God working. And when you think about the things that God has done in your life, why does he want you to remember them? So that you remember his faithfulness to you. That it's not you. That it's not you that has accomplished all that you have or all that has happened in your life. It's God. And think about in our own church, those of you that have been here a long time, you can miss this. Because I know some of the newer people that talk about this. What Altadena has is rare. I don't know why it is. I don't know why it's not in more churches, but it's a spirit, it's a attitude, it's a disposition of safety. This is a place that is safe to be a sinner. I don't mean that we allow you to sin and don't say anything about it. I mean, it's safe for you to come and say, I am a sinner who, by the way, needs a Savior. This is why I come to church. I need a Savior. I still need a Savior. And for some reason, once Christians get saved, they often bend towards a tendency towards, I don't really need God as much anymore. I can do it on my own. And Altadena is a different culture in that way. Think about that as far as remembering and God's faithfulness to us and keeping it, too. Another sign I thought of as far as a memorial for us as a church, more tangible thing, is the property that we have. This year, we got, I've only been here since October, but I heard some stories about how long it took, and then we've got it now, a sign that says Altadena Park. Okay? The sign up that says Altadena Park on it, that is a wonderful, wonderful gift of God. Not just for parking, but in order to answer prayers that you and the leadership have had for years of, God, use our church, use our property to flourish the neighborhood, to bless the community. And people that love that park and love the trail and love the basketball court and people playing on it is just a tremendous blessing. I talked to one of the residents that lives in the neighborhood, and he was telling me that a developer wanted to put a big subdivision in right there, you know, if we hadn't purchased that property. So God gave that to us, and we in the neighborhood are very thankful. That's not a small thing, okay? It's not. There's no small thing. We must look back and in order to remember, in order to Well, look at what verse 24 says. In order to remember that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that we may fear him forever. That means revere him. That means honor him, glory in him, so that he gets bigger in your life, and you get less. Okay, as Tim Keller says, it's not that you think of yourself less; it's that you think less of yourself. Okay? So that God becomes all the more mighty. Two quotes to help us with this, but why this remembering God's faithfulness is so important. Mark Dever says, "Forgetfulness of God's grace is one of the greatest tools in the enemy's war against our souls." He wants you to forget. The enemy does. And then from Francis Schaeffer, "The beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart." Discontent says that whatever you have is not enough. And I have felt that myself creeping in. Look at all that God has done. Look at all that God has given. Look at all the ways that God has blessed. And yet I want to focus on the negative. I want to focus on the discomfort, the hard things, the things that aren't the way that I want them quite yet. See, that's discontent rearing its ugly head. Look around again, see? Remember God's faithfulness. And I know many of you are like me, you don't want to look back. You know, why look back? We've got things to do, we've got people to see, we got places to go, we need to move forward. Okay, but looking back is an engine for moving you forward. Okay, so let's go there. Remember then, don't just remember, go forward. Now, it's not spelled out here, but you see it under the surface. You see, the memorial stones are not just for the first generation of the people who crossed over the Jordan. See? The memorial stones are for the sake of the many generations that will come. Okay? Verse 21 says, oh yeah, the children will ask, what do these stones mean? How did you get here? How did this happen? Where are we from? What's my history? What has come before me? And children of every age and every generation are eventually going to ask those questions, right? And you, as the parents and the grandparents, are going to tell them the stories. Tell the stories. Tell the stories of God's faithfulness to you, of how you got to where you are now. It didn't just happen. And of course, children. Children are great at asking questions. Why? Why this? Why that? What does that mean? How did it get here? What does it point to? Why do you do things that way? See what God is showing us? The way that you move forward is by asking questions. The way that people grow in their understanding of who God is by asking questions. The way that people are discipled, right? The way that people grow up into Christ and into godliness is by creating an atmosphere that is open to questions. See, that's what we have here. See? It's not didactic teaching from on high. See, it's not that. It's receiving people, welcoming people, allowing them to ask questions, allowing them to even have doubts. Jesus sometimes pressed people so hard that they would doubt, so that then he could show them himself. See? Create then, and we have it, a safe environment for people to ask questions, just like children. Very few people will just accept the facts without investigating, right? Okay. Very few people just accept, well, that's just the way it is, you know, because I told you so. No, see? We want to know why. Why are things the way that they are? And God welcomes that. He welcomes these questions. He wants the children to ask, and they will, and yours will, and I will. What did Jesus say about children? The faith of a child is a requirement You cannot go to heaven without the faith of a child. See? Unless you have the faith of a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. So go forward, of course, asking questions all the way. Keep learning. We never arrive. We know that we do have heaven coming, but we're still here. We have to keep moving forward, right? Didn't they just cross the Jordan River? Oh, we're in the promised land. They are, but they have to keep moving forward. They have to fight for it, right? All the rest of the Old Testament is about them fighting for occupying this land. See? And that's our calling too, to move forward in faith, trusting in God's promises in the past, moving forward, asking questions along the way. And by the way, it's okay to ask God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Okay. He can handle it. You can ask him those questions. You can struggle with him, wrestle with him. Just like that process that I told you about God bringing us to Altadena. I had to come to a place where I would just ask God, what are you doing? Why are we going through this? The whole interview process and the grueling nature that it was. In order that we could move forward. And also, see what God does with this. When he reminds you of his past faithfulness, and you are walking forward in something that you don't really know how to go forward, he reminds you that he's got you. Didn't I have you back then? Didn't I call you to this back then? Didn't I provide for you back then? See? So you can move forward with confidence, without fear, knowing God has you. And so these memorial stones, of course, they're demanding that Israel look back, okay? The call to look back. But they're empowering them to move forward. And so the Bible is clearly teaching here again, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. We don't know how those two come together, but they are equally taught. Okay. God stopped the waters, but they had to walk across. They had to take the steps of faith to move forward. See? Same with the work of Christ as far as us as a people of God. We look back to the historical workings of Christ, to the historical events of what Christ did. His life, death, resurrection, ascension. We look back and we remember, but we don't just stay there. Those are what empower us to move forward in faith, to be the salt and light, to be the people of God here on earth. Okay? And so if you are in Christ, look at what you have. Some of you have such a hard time moving forward because you're constantly dwelling on what has happened in the past. But if you're in Christ, you dwell on Christ. You dwell on what he has done, on your punishment being passed over, him taking it in himself. And so that you are resurrected with him. You have life in him because he has given it to you. Now, what does this look like? It looks different for every believer. Because some of you are gung-ho and ready to conquer the world. And some of you are really holding back. Some of you are deeply wounded and hurting from things in the past. And some of you have not really gone through that much pain. Some of you have very upfront teaching and leading gifts. And some of you are very good at being behind the scenes. All are essential, but all look different. Okay? All of those gifts, all of those abilities. To walk forward then is going to look different for every believer. Okay? But it will be based on the same foundation. Okay? Think about your houses. Your houses all look different, right? But the foundation, those cinder blocks, cement blocks, those are all the same. Okay. Everyone's foundation is on the cinder block, the cement block. But it's built up and it looks different as your house expresses your own personality or the way that you want to have it laid out. See? The foundation stone is Christ. We're all built on Him. But the way that He works out His Spirit in and through us is going to look very different. That's good. It's wonderful. All the different gifts that God has given us. And so you know this, but you forget this. As you walk forward in faith, you have to remember that you did not and cannot save yourself. More than that, apart from Him, you can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches, remember? Apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. And so the memorial stones that Israel had helped them to remember, this is what God has done. We didn't part these waters. This is what God has done. And the memorial stones of your life this past year, the memorial stones in our church of what God has accomplished in our church, help us to move forward in what God has done. Most of all, of course, remember and glory in the memorial stone of Christ. Memorial stone of Christ Jesus. We all have in front of us an impassable Red Sea. We all have in front of us a raging flood stage Jordan River. It's called death. Okay? The penalty of death. Death in front of us, death behind us, and God, God loves to show off. And so what He did here for the Israelites, He has done for us. He is mighty to save. He is the one who has done this. He made the way for us to be rescued from our very selves, because we are all so prone to do it our way, to try to save ourselves, get ourselves out of the predicament that we're in. But He made a bridge, right? The bridge across death, the cross of Christ Jesus. So that we would glory in what Christ has done. We would remember Him, and we would walk forward by faith into the promised land. So God help us, and He will. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, then we pray that You would indeed help us to remember. We're not good at remembering, or else we idolize our memories and wish for the good old days. Help us, Lord, to look back and see Your faithfulness so that, Lord, we can walk forward, move forward in Christ, in what He has done and what He has accomplished and what He promises to do. By His great grace, lead us into and through the promised land that we may one day rejoice forever and ever in heaven. Give us eyes to see, Lord, and give us grace to trust and follow You. And thank You, Father, for all Your faithfulness to us, and especially, Lord, as we think about our finances. Lord, help us to, yes, remember Your faithfulness to us in this area, and Lord, then to give unto You, to sacrificially give in the way that You have taught us, the way that You have led us, so, Lord, that we would put our trust not in our money, but in You and Your faithful provision for us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.